Hi, my name's Chris Scott, and this interview was recorded for the UK Wine Show. For the latest news and terms and conditions, go to ukwineshow.co.uk. Hi, my name's Chris Scott, and I'm here with Helen De Schepper and Anthony Cremery. How are you guys?
Nice, thank you, Scott.
Chris.
No, Chris.
That's my mistake. Excellent. I'm going to leave that in.
But it could have been Scott.
No. The listeners will think that is poetic justice. All right. The number of times I've got my interviewee's name wrong. It's brilliant. That's poetic justice. That's brilliant. What we want to do today is we want to talk a wee bit about Bordeaux Superior, and then maybe compare that to Margaux, because you've got property in Margaux, Bordeaux Superior, and then compare that quickly to a bit more detail, looking at Saint-Emilion. So we want to try and look at the three different areas. Quick overview of Margaux, it's gravel by the River Gironde. Cab Sav should be the key grape variety.
Absolutely.
How does it compare, because your Bordeaux Superior property, what's the name of that again, Helen?
Château Taillet.
That's near Margaux, isn't it?
Absolutely. It's near Château d'Auzac, actually.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is a property, Fisgros in d'Auzac, and a very, very nice property.
Yeah, I drove past them yesterday.
Right, right. Yeah. And yes, Château Taillet is located in, actually near the Margaux appellation, but we're classified as the Bordeaux Supérieur.
Why is that? What's the difference?
Why is that? The Margaux appellation has limits, okay? So we're not in the limits of the Margaux appellation.
Yep.
But we're Bordeaux Supérieur, and actually 5% of the Bordeaux Supérieur appellation is in the Médoc. It's not very common to find a Bordeaux Supérieur in the Médoc.
Yeah.
So it's quite rare.
Yep.
Most of the Bordeaux Supérieur you will find in the Entre-deux-Mers.
Yep. So that's between the Gironde and
Between the Gironde and Dordogne, yes. Absolutely.
Yeah, okay. Often that's for white wine production, though, isn't it? I usually think of Entre-deux-Mers as sort of Sauvignon Blanc, Semillon.
Absolutely. They do a lot of white wines there, good white wines.
Yeah.
And also a lot of rosé wines.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But we don't do any rosé.
So you're all Cab Sauv, is it, or Merlot?
It's Cabernet Sauvignon, Merlot, and we use also some Petit Verdot.
Okay.
10% of Petit Verdot, which is actually quite a high proportion, and unusual, because normally you will find maybe 2-3%, 4% of Petit Verdot in the blends, but we use 10%, and it's actually quite rare to find 10%, and we're quite happy about that.
It's a lot of complexity.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I was talking to Seychelle at Château Anglade. And they've got about 10-11% as well, and
absolutely.
He seemed to think it gave a, particularly in the mid palate, you know, in a poor year it helped the Cab Sauv, and in a hot year it helped everything out. So
absolutely, it's true.
He seemed to think he was quite pleased with it.
It's great.
And a great variety that used to be quite popular and then lost its way. It seems to be coming back.
It's coming back.
Exactly. And we're actually trying to promote it and to talk about it, because it's as you say correctly, it's a great variety which brings a lot to the wine.
Yep.
And blended, it's really marvelous.
So what is your property in the Médoc? You say it's right beside Margaux. Why is it not considered part of Margaux? Is it the soils? Is it the climate? Is it what?
I believe it's a question of soils, but actually maybe Jean-Michel could reply to that question. I think it's the soils, the delimitation of the soils.
Yep.
We're on the borders of the Garonne River, and all that part is all Bordeaux Supérieur.
Okay. So normally it's Margaux is known for its deep gravel soil, so you've got a bit more, silty, sandy stuff if you're close to the river?
Exactly. It's more sandy soils, absolutely.
Okay, so they will generally create, it's a bit cooler. Oh, no, it's not cooler, but it drains well, doesn't it?
It drains.
And you tend to get lighter styles of wines.
We try to make with our Château Taillet some like the original clarets, you know, like 12.5 degrees alcohol, 13 degrees, not, you know, the powerful Bordeaux Supérieur that you can find now. Yeah. They're more on the old-fashioned side, which we're kind of happy about that.
Okay. And you also get some Bordeaux Supérieur on the right bank as well, heading past Pomerol. Is that right?
Blaye. No, it's Côte de Blaye. Yeah. You have Côte de Blaye, Côte de Bourg.
Is there any Bordeaux Supérieur or Bordeaux out there?
There must be a little bit, but a small proportion, I believe. Huh?
Yeah.
The main area for the Bordeaux Supérieur will be in the Entre-deux-Mers, you know, around Crayon, Carignan, Libourne, even down there around Libourne, you can find some Bordeaux Superieur, of course. And but not so much over in these regions where you will find Côte de Blaye, Côte de Bourg, Fronsac.
Bordeaux and Bordeaux Superior, often the wines have more Merlot in the blend as opposed to Cabernet Sauvignon. Is that your, obviously you guys are, what did you say your Cab Sav versus Merlot percentages were?
We have more Merlot than Cabernet Sauvignon,
yeah.
10% Petit Verdot for the Bordeaux Superior. For the Margaux wines, we use more Cabernet Sauvignon, of course. And
out here, let's look at Saint-Emilion, because Saint-Emilion, quite a different beast, isn't it? So you're on the left hand, you've got Margaux, but on the right bank, we're over here in the Saint-Emilion, and we're actually up high on the plateau, because Saint-Emilion's made up of different sub-regions, isn't it?
Absolutely. You have actually 9 communes in Saint-Emilion, making up the Saint-Emilion Grand Cru appellation, which is interesting. We're in Saint-Laurent-des-Combes, one of the 9 communes, and as you rightly said, there are 3 main terroirs in Saint-Emilion Grand Cru. You have the lower part, which is near Saint-Sulpice-de-Falerens, which is more sandy near the Dordogne River, more sandy soils. You have the plateau where we are here, La Croisille, which is more clay, limestone. As you saw, with a small amount of clay and big amount of limestone. And if you go towards Pomerol region, you will find more clay, more red clay, blue clay, more Merlot type soils, which brings a lot of acidity to the wine. And very, very different terroirs.
Yeah, we wandered through a cave actually with Alan, and it was all carved out and into the side, and you could see all the limestone. And you're saying that they actually built Saint-Emilion with hollowing out the hillside, really?
Yes, exactly.
And you're saying also that the caves run all the way to Saint-Emilion, because we must be about 2 or 3 kilometers outside of Saint-Emilion.
Yes, exactly, 2 or 3 kilometers. So we used to be able to walk underground from our property to Saint-Emilion.
Yeah, all that the way. It's nice if it's a rainy day. That'd be quite handy. So we were down there, and we could actually see some of the roots coming through the roof of these underground caverns.
So the vine will, to fetch some humidity, the roots will pierce the rock to go and fetch it.
Which is actually very important in a hot year like 2003. That will bring a lot of freshness to the wine, which in 2003 we had a heat wave.
Yeah.
And so our wines in 2003 showed up pretty well, actually.
Yes.
Compared to the others in the lower parts of the Saint-Emilion.
On the sand, more
exactly,
silty
on the sandy, where it was very heavy wines. And
yeah, there's not a lot of moisture.
Very alcoholic, there, exactly.
Yeah, a lot of vineyards in 2003, because it was particularly hot. Everybody said that Saint-Emilion was the place to go, because limestone, the nice thing about limestone is it's got porosity and permeability, so it holds onto the water, so the vines.
Yes, it's like a sponge. It holds the water, and then it's like a little reservoir for the vines to. Yep. Who can get water. After that, they have a dry period.
Yeah, yeah. And when it rains, you don't find it gets too waterlogged here?
No. We have a good, actually, because we're on the hills here, you have a very good drainage from the hills. So there's no question of being waterlogged. And in fact, the caves of Saint-Emilion go all the way to Saint-Emilion. You actually go sometimes even canoeing into the caves.
Oh, really?
When it rains a lot, when there's a lot of rain here, you can actually go canoeing.
Have you tried that?
Never. it can be quite dangerous if the levels go quite high.
Okay. You described some of the areas, but you described them all as Grand Cru. What are the quality standards within Saint-Emilion?
Well, first you got Saint-Emilion appellation, the basic appellation, fine in quality.
Extends, because just to give you an idea, you've got the Dordogne River, and then it rises to the plateau here, and then it falls away, doesn't it, towards, as you go north.
Exactly.
And a lot of the Saint-Emilion is north.
Absolutely. Yeah, exactly.
And it's quite flat down there as well.
Exactly. Very flat, very flat. Yeah, completely different to where we are now.
Is it on limestone as well, or is it?
It's more sandy, a little bit
some
of clay.
Gravel.
Yeah, some gravel.
Yeah. And what sort of grape varieties do they grow there?
We're more on the Merlot side over there. Yeah, more Merlot. Okay. Merlot, Cabernet Franc.
Merlot and Cabernet Franc, okay. And do you find, is there any particular reason why it's Merlot and maybe not, why not Cabernet Sauvignon there? Because, you know, Cabernet Sauvignon is really popular on the left bank.
Why Merlot? Because Merlot in Saint-Emilion typically grows very well in Saint-Emilion and Pomerol. It's a very good soil for the Merlot grape. Mm-hmm. It's a privileged soil, I would say. And Merlot, obviously, with the Cabernet Franc, is a key player in Saint-Emilion.
Do you find that... Well, one of the reasons I thought it was because Cab Sav needs a bit more energy, a bit more heat to ripen up, mm-hmm. and maybe it's not quite so warm here as it is maybe in Margaux or in the Left Bank.
That's also correct. That's also a reason. But I tend to believe that also the climatic conditions are very important. I think the soils and the terroir is very important.
Essentially the soil, because the limestone is a cold soil, so it's good. With the clay, it's better for Merlot.
Yeah, clay definitely is colder.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, clay is colder, and Merlot needs less heat.
Yeah, yeah.
So
also, limestone tends to pick up the acidity in the wines.
Exactly. Which you will not see in the Médoc, for example. It's more Cabernet Sauvignon in the Médoc than here, obviously.
Yeah, yeah.
Completely different soils.
Yeah, okay. So that's sort of the entry-level Saint-Emilion. It's Merlot-dominated with maybe a bit of Cab Franc in there. We're on Grand Cru here.
Yes. Then you got the appellation Grand Cru, mm-hmm. Which is, I think, around 5,400 hectares in total.
There's a lot of Grand Cru Saint-Emilion, though, isn't there?
Absolutely. There are about, I think, 600 châteaux. Yeah, also, as I said, in the nine communes of Saint-Emilion, nine communes.
It's the same area than the Saint-Emilion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but you often find, my understanding is a lot of the Grand Cru châteaux are on the plateau.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes. So, as I said earlier on, Saint-Emilion Grand Cru is also in the lower Saint-Emilion.
Mm-hmm.
On the plateau where we are and towards Pomerol.
Yeah.
As you correctly said, most of the Grand Crus are here on the plateau, and you will not find the big names on the lower Saint-Emilion.
Yeah.
Okay? It's always in the altitude.
And actually, Saint-Emilion, the township, probably, I've had a look around some of the townships around Bordeaux, and Saint-Emilion is definitely the most pretty.
It is. It's lovely. It's lovely. It's a medieval town.
Yeah. Some of them are pretty ugly, I must admit. No, I shouldn't say that because you guys are actually highly biased, but Saint-Emilion is quite a pretty city.
It is. It's 2,000 inhabitants.
Yeah, not many people.
And 1 million visitors per year.
Yeah. And the township actually starts on the plateau and just sort of falls down towards the north, doesn't it?
Yes,
exactly.
It's in a sort of walk up, actually.
Yeah. Above Saint-Emilion Grand Cru, there's another level, isn't there?
Exactly. Then you move towards Saint-Emilion Grand Cru Classé.
Yeah.
Okay. And then you got Saint-Emilion Grand Cru Classé B, Premier Grand Cru Classé B, and Premier Grand Cru Classé A.
Yeah. So, Premier Grand Cru Classé A and B. Yes. Yeah, you can call it A, but I'll call it A.
A and B, I'm sorry.
B, that's the next one tier up, isn't it? And then A is the top one.
No, after us is Cru Classé.
Cru Classé?
Exactly. Yeah. And then there's B and then A.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
So if we want to reach the top, we've got a few steps to go.
Let me just recap. You've got Saint-Emilion.
Yeah.
Saint-Emilion Grand Cru. Saint-Emilion Grand Cru Classé. Yeah. Saint-Emilion Premier Grand Cru Classé B. Saint-Emilion Premier Grand Cru Classé A.
Exactly.
Okay,
exactly.
That's a mouthful, isn't it?
Yes.
It is. And it's a classification every 10 years.
Yeah, we'll talk about that
okay.
nightmare.
It's a nightmare, it is. I don't know if I want to talk about it, actually. But,
yeah. But it's a wee bit unusual from say, Burgundy, whereas normally Burgundy, it goes Premier Cru and then Grand Cru.
Yes.
Whereas in Saint-Emilion, it's the other way around, just to make things nice and easy.
Exactly. For the consumers.
Yeah, but you're saying that they there's a reclassification every 10 years.
Yes, yes.
And it's the last 20 years has been a bit of a legal mess, hasn't it?
It has been a bit of a, you know, a few discussions.
Yes, especially the 2006 mm-hmm. Has been a lot of trouble with that one. A lot of chateaus complaining.
Mm.
So it was annulled in 2006, and then they made a new one last year, 2 years ago, 2012.
Yep, and my understanding of the reason was that some of the people making the judgment call were the people making the wines and owning the chateaus, so that there was maybe a risk of a vested interest in terms of things.
Yes, exactly. That was the reason people were protesting.
Yeah. And what have they done? They've changed who's allowed to be part of the judging, haven't they?
Actually, I'm not quite sure about that one. I think the people remained.
I don't think they made changes into that. No.
No changes.
Oh, okay.
No changes. No. You can be declassified. You can be promoted. Mm-hmm. Of course, then it becomes why have you been promoted? Why have you been declassified? It's always a big.
Well, no one minds if you get promoted. It's when you get demoted.
Exactly. It's a question of soils, of terroir, where you're located, if you're participating into the local life of Saint-Emilion. All this is considered...
Yeah, it's a total picture.
It's not just the wine. It's,
It's
are you participating in the life of Saint-Emilion? Are you
promote the wines in the world.
Exactly. It's a way of promoting your wines and Saint-Emilion at the same time.
Okay. So you guys are Grand Cru. Are you aiming to go Grand Cru Classe? Do you think you'll make it?
Yes, we strongly believe we will make it.
Even Grand Cru Classé. Ah, who knows? Huh,
one day. So, actually, that was quite interesting because there used to be just two Grand Cru Classé, didn't there?
Mm-hmm.
It was Orson and
Cheval Blanc.
And now they've been joined by two more. Who are the other two?
Yes, Château Pavie and Château Angelus.
And you guys are right next door to one of the Grand Cru Classé, aren't you?
Yes, we're next to Château Pavie, which is just down the hill over here, and also a very nice property.
Yeah. I think we're going to wrap it up there.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chris. Cheers. Thank you, Chris.